Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. And I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie. I'm Christine Marie. And yes, welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, or as we'd like to say,
More Life.
More Life with the Girlfriends, because we're about the more.
Well, so yes, we very much are about the more.
Not about the bass or the treble, but we're about the more.
I got a little more junk in my trunk.
That's right.
A little more cushion to...
Pushing in the cushion? Is that okay to say?
No, I don't know if it's okay to say or not, to be honest with you.
All of a sudden, this I've show that this was, path. Yeah, yes. Now PG.
Yes, now PG. So it's interesting because, well, if you don't know who we are, we're Christy Marie and Julie. We're my mom's a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher.
We're mother
both,
and daughter.
We're mother and daughter. And we're both licensed, you know, certified coaches, law of attraction coaches, life optimization coaches. And what we really are about is putting more life into our life.
Yes.
And like
putting
our
more
book,
life into your life.
Like our book says, The Clutterfly Effect, tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Yeah.
It really is about taking your life where it is now.
Right.
And knowing that by just making tweaks here,
tiny
here,
little tweaks. Sorry.
Yes. You can improve your life.
Yes.
Would you say?
I said teaks instead of tweaks.
Well, you know what? A little teak here, a little teak there.
There's going to be a lot of big teaks in the...
Exactly.
Already, we're crazy.
Yeah, and you can go to our website, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, read our blog there. And Christine always has lots of great words of wisdom. But we're really about having a fun time with this.
Yes.
Life is short.
Putting more joy... More love, less worry.
Yes.
A lot of the mores.
Yes.
More love, more joy, more happiness.
And can more I just tweets? Say, can I give a little shout out to our post office?
Yeah, we just had the
it's
post
Sunday,
lady.
And we're getting a postal delivery from Amazon through the United States Post Office Service.
I know.
I just love it.
Can I tell you how much I love Amazon?
I fought it because we have people. Well, I fought loving it. I love it too.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it that they're combining with UPS, USPS, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I used to fight it because, you know, Doug has a retail store. I used to have a retail store. I mean, so I have this push and pull against online businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like they do it so well.
Amazon is like, I'm glad that we have product to sell on Amazon.
Yes, exactly. That's how, hey, if you can't beat them,
join them. We joined them.
And we joined them. Exactly.
But don't you just love Amazon, though?
I do.
It is the most, here's the only problem. It's an amazing business model.
Right.
But if you and I went to a banker or whatever and said, we're not going to make any money for the first 7 years.
Right.
But after that, we're going to own it.
And I don't know if it was 7 years, but it was a long time.
It was a long time. Maybe
like four or five, right around there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember in the way back in the day when they just were doing books, really. Wasn't
That's all it was.
And all of a sudden, like, well, our business model is for like the next 4 to 5 years, we won't make a profit. I thought, who can do that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not mom and pop.
No.
Not Julie Marie.
Usually you have to kind of make it within 1 or 2 years because otherwise you've run out of money to support yourself.
Yes.
You know, or you're doing it like a lot of people do. They have their job and then they on the side, they start their own business
until that takes over. Right.
And then you have a choice
That's
to
called
make.
The Hail Mary.
Yes, exactly. Hail Mary pass. Right. So just wanted to give a shout out to our post office. Thank you
and
for delivering
Amazon.
On a Sunday.
Yeah, thank you, because now we have our books.
Yes.
More research.
Which I love to do. Thank God I love to do that.
Thank God we'd like to do
it. But it's interesting. This morning I got a little text, you know, saying, hey, by 8 p.m., you're going to get your Amazon delivery. I'm like, hey.
8 a.m.
No, 8 p.m.
Hey, 8 p.m.
It said by 8 p.m. I'm going to get my delivery. But I got it this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. By
8 p.m. So sometime today.
Yeah.
Be prepared. And isn't it just a kind of exciting to get something in the mail?
Right.
You know?
It may be more exciting when they drone it.
Yes. I'm not there for that, but that's okay.
When a little drone. I think I've dreamt that before.
Well, I'm sure because they've had those. You know, first of all. What's the weight they can carry? It has to be in perspective.
Right.
I mean, how big are these drones going to get?
Right.
They're going to be delivering our stuff.
And where we live, I have a tendency to think that they'll be shot down.
Oh, for sure. But
we hear shots all the time.
No doubt about it. However, do they have a camera on them? And as they're dropping stuff out my front door, are they then shooting a camera back? And like, what if I just... By chance, look at my window and I see a drone flying around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And you decide to moon it.
Yes, just because. Just because. And you say that because you saw one of those.
Deadpool, right? Was it Deadpool? No, a commercial.
You're watching True TV, and they had on bloopers.
Oh, yes.
From across the world.
Right.
And there is this one drone photographing, I guess, an employee at work who's on a crane. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it wasn't an employee's drone. Maybe it was just some guy on the street. You know, like, hey, I'm going to use my drone and photograph this guy working the crane.
Yeah, maybe he's not really working.
Yes. And he was ticked off, the guy in the crane, and he just turned around and mooned him.
Moon the drone.
Moon the drone. Hence, mooning the whole world.
Yes.
Because then we got to see it as well.
Yes. There's got to be a word for mooning the drone.
I don't know what it is. Exactly. Yeah. Moon the drone. It will come up. Because here's the thing. I need to know, we're going to have to catch up law-wise about privacy issues.
Yes.
Because I think you should have you should be guaranteed a little level of privacy
in your life, because everything's supposedly transparent right now.
Yeah, and it's not. It's like that fake transparency. Mm-hmm. Something they're transparent, something they're not. Yes. Some things look transparent and not.
So, if you're not in the upper crust, you're transparent.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I think we still haven't seen Trump's taxes yet,
have we?
Yeah,
I was just thinking the same thing. So, how transparent is that?
Right, exactly. So anyway, today we're going to have a really big show, like I always say. We're going to have a little bit of a bigger Elliot's Corner, where we talk about things we've learned from our dog.
Yeah, we're expanding. We decided this week, you know what? We have so many awesome animal stories that they should go into Elliot's Corner. Because he's an animal, even though he is our puppy.
For sure. And so I've got a lot held back.
On my Facebook page, I put down Katy Perry, I kissed a girl and I liked it. Christine Marie, I kissed a puppy and I liked it. And I had a picture there of me kissing Elliot. And it got the most likes we ever got.
They like Elliot, that stuff.
Elliot's loved.
Right. He is loved.
He's running for president, Julie. On the third party ticket. His slogan is more bones, less taxes.
Yes. I would vote for him.
Yes.
I would vote for him.
That's right. I'd vote for Elliot Stabler.
Elliot Stabler.
Peters. Exactly. He's got three names, just like a serial killer.
He's broken my heart several times.
Yes, exactly.
He stole my heart. So more like a serial burglar.
That's right.
There is such a thing. I don't know. And I may talk about the show that I'm addicted to right now.
Which is?
In Elliot's Corner, called Animal Kingdom on
TNT.
Oh,
yeah. I've not seen it yet, but you're hopefully taping it for me.
I think I am. It's also on demand. Mm-hmm. But
we'll talk.
We'll talk about it then. And then we're going to also talk about, in our pillar corner, which we talk about the pillars of life. It's our little coaching segment, right? We talk about it directly.
It's our takeaways.
We talk about life in the beginning and find takeaways in there. We talk about
and so we can have
animals.
More life.
Yes. And then finally, our direct, like, hit you in the face kind of talk is our pillar talk. And we're talking about grit. Mm-hmm. And also the book from Angela Duckworth.
Duckworth.
Yes.
Not Dickworth.
And if you missed our show last week, I was looking at my notes through my iPhone.
And for the first 15 minutes, you were talking about the author, the great author, Angela Duckworth.
Yeah, with a PhD.
And then we finally said, could that really be your last name?
That doesn't sound right.
Dickworthy. No.
And then I just assumed that I'd go, you know what? I think it's Duckworth. And I either put it wrong on my phone or my phone made a mistake.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. And my phone made a mistake.
Yeah. Your phone auto-corrected Duckworth to Dickworthy. It would.
Yes.
My phone would do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a mind of its own.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So we're going to definitely talk about grit. And I believe she talks about grit through the idea of passion with perseverance.
Yes. We're all about the grit.
We're all about the grit. Yes.
We're trying to figure out an acronym for GRIT. Hasn't come to us yet.
No, and you know why it hasn't come to us yet? Because really, it just stands for grit.
Maybe grit is the acronym.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how I feel. Grit is the acronym.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because I've been talking to Doug a lot lately, and he's been really contemplating going back to school. And it's been nice talking about this with him. It's kind of opening up his horizons a little bit. And we found a good school that he can do and he wants to try and so forth. And it's affordable for the most part. But it's been fun just playing in this realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about going to school as well.
I'd love for you to do it.
What a new technique. I mean, to do everything online for the most part.
Yes.
They've really made it a lot easier for adult learners. You've got your master's. I would like to get my master's and then my PhD, but it's just interesting thinking about this and then talking to him about how your life's going to change.
Well, you know, it is true, because in the old days, to get your PhD really meant the epitome of dedication.
Right.
It meant while your peers were off making money, having jobs, moving up, you were stuck. You were still a student.
Right.
You were maybe taught a class here and there for your professor. Mm-hmm. But it was a dedication. And the payoff didn't come for years later.
Right. No.
But now, with the online programs and, like you said, for adult learners who are, you know, immersed in their lives and find room for this, it is awesome.
It is awesome. And he hasn't been to school in a long time. Couple decades, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just talking about how his life's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And when you go and decide you're going to do one of these major goals in your life, and you realize you got to clear the clutter up first.
You bet.
There are things in his life that are not going to facilitate him getting his degree.
Mm-hmm. And some things will have to go away.
Yes, he has to make it simpler, easier to survive this, and to succeed and thrive in this program. And I'm like, I'm all for it, Doug. I'm all for you doing this. This would be awesome for you. And if it's not awesome for him, then he could put this dream aside or learn the skills he needs to learn to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't always think online learning is best for everyone, because it's probably going to require a huge amount of grit, self-discipline. That's all on that grit line. Yeah. And he has a busy life. He has a fun life. And he has an easier life
than
getting your degree.
Right.
So I'm curious.
I'm curious, too. Because over the decades that I've known him, he brings this up routinely.
Yes.
And it never goes anywhere.
No.
But if it does go somewhere, you know, hallelujah.
Well, this is the only time I've noticed that this program that he looked into is accredited and reasonably priced. He could afford it. Or he can take a student loan on, I guess. I'm kind of pushing into him affording it. But also, he can start anytime at the first of the month. Mm-hmm. Once you get applied and you get accepted, he may not get accepted.
How nice.
You can start anytime you want to.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's brilliant.
Yes.
This idea of waiting till the terms come, you know,
it's
come
hard.
On. It's
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, strike while the iron's hot.
Especially for adult learners.
Yes. So I'm excited for him, excited for me. And I'm just excited. You know, you and I have talked about this many times, that we have the opportunity to live to be 100 years old, most likely, if we take care of our bodies. I mean, that's one reason why I gave up sugar, because everything I read has been just
about inflammation.
Inflammation. And I've experienced that.
Yeah. And for the most part, you've taken care of the gluten in your body.
Yes.
In general. You're working on it, but I'd say you're 80-20.
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting, because Hillary, Doug's daughter, has celiac, so she's zero gluten. And I don't care about the gluten that kind of sneaks in there. I'm not that good about it. And I guess I should. But what I try and do is just try and eat as naturally as possible. So, like, it looks like what it looks like, you know?
Except yesterday.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
We had
I was so
Fritos
sick.
And the chili cheese dip. Oops.
Oh, we're calling it a holiday meal for lunch. We were sick as dogs. This is what happens if you stop eating those things. You eat naturally, you eat healthier, and then you go, oh, you know, I haven't had that in a long time. And you eat it going, I know why I can't have this anymore. I'm so sick of the dog. Oh. Well, we were talking about that. We were talking about how sometimes, even in the worst case scenarios, like I was sick as a dog yesterday for a while.
I know.
And it was a blessing. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that during Pillar
Talk. It was a teachable
talk.
Moment.
It was.
You know what? I was just thinking about this, and you may not want to talk about this now, but since I told you the story, you may want to talk about the great handicapped parking debacle.
I would love to talk about
that. At the Dollar General.
That's awesome. I will definitely talk about that. First of all, I want to say, go to our blog. Go to ChristineMarieAndJulie.com with CH, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Or go to Amazon, pick up our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation. I say that now because you and my father have a little rebellion in you. And it's about parking.
Just a wee bit.
Yes.
And it's mostly Normanos.
You're together in this.
I know.
And
I got to own up to it.
Meaning that no matter where, if it's a handicap, not like big handicap. Okay. Now, no, no one's
with a small age.
Yeah. And also like with fire lanes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Norm likes to park not in a parking space and not in a handicap space. He will find the one space that's not marked.
So it's a corner space.
Corners usually, yes.
Yes. And so, and that's the thing. It's like at the dog park.
Twix.
There's a handicap spot.
Right.
And we don't pick that spot. We pick the spot close to the handicap, but actually better. Like, we're not in the handicap spot. It really isn't a spot.
Yeah, it's not the spot. It's not the spot.
But if, you know, you like to stay in the car and watch Elliot with your playing your game, watching him, you know, in the shade because you're a redhead. You burn really easily. So yesterday you were at Dollar General and doing your Saturday coupon.
We have a coupon.
Yes.
You spend $25.
Yes.
You get $5 off.
You know what
that is? That's like, that's free Fritos.
Oh, it made me sick. Yeah.
It wasn't free. Toilet paper.
Yeah, it wasn't free. Yeah, thank God it's for the Fritos. But so you parked in your corner spot next to the handicap, but not really a spot.
Right.
But then somebody pulled into the handicap spot.
Well, there was a guy already in the handicap. Okay. So he was coming out of Dollar General. He had a cane.
Right.
He was an older gentleman.
Right.
And I saw him just looking at us. Norm was not paying any attention. He was like, you know, looking at the money, making his list out, whatever, and getting the coupon ready. And he went to his car and he opened his car door, but he stood there.
Right.
He put his cane in, and I said, Norm, this guy is hunting for bear right now. He's waiting for you.
He's mad. He sees that you're in this parking spot that's neither a handicap nor a parking spot.
That's right. He's in a handicap spot.
Right.
And so I'm telling Norm this, and Norm's totally oblivious to me.
Right.
I said, and I'm able to see him, but he can't see me.
He's going to say something.
I know he's going to say something because he hasn't gotten in his car yet.
Right.
And Norm's just taking his good old time, and I'm going, you were listening to me, right? You know you're going to have to deal with this guy.
Right.
And he's writing he's just ignoring me, you know? So finally, and this guy, I'm wondering how long this guy can stand because he's got a cane and everything.
Right.
So finally, Norm gets out of he's got his money, he's got his coupon, he's got his list. And I said, Norm, make sure. And Norm's got shorts on.
Right.
And he's got his knee brace on. He's got this
Thank God.
Really big knee brace that's like, it's got big metal.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's huge. And
yeah.
And he's got that on. And I said, make sure you really
You
limp.
Call it the libido killer.
Yeah. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
That is so not a turn on.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, so make sure, because I know you're going to limp out of here, but make sure you really limp out of here.
Because a lot of times you tell him, can you try and walk normally?
Please, Norm.
Just try. And so that day you said,
Go for it.
You walk the way you feel.
And you proudly wear that knee brace because you're going to get talked to.
Yes, and then be all nice to the guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, well, okay, you know. Yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen because he wasn't really listening to me.
Right. And then the way the story goes is that Normano gets out of the van limping like he's feeling it.
Yeah.
Walking.
With the big knee brace on.
And did he have his cane too? Because he only keeps one
no.
of the car.
Okay. No, he wasn't wearing the cane.
And he was overly friendly with the guy. He goes, hey, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, gives him a salute.
Yeah. Hey, sir.
And I'm watching this guy's face like, what the?
Yeah.
I was all ready to prepare to get this guy and... And all of a sudden he's like, what? In his brain schematic, he didn't know what to do.
It's like something popped his balloon.
Yeah.
And it just sizzled out.
Yeah. It was kind of fun.
It was kind of fun.
And then finally, you know, Norm gives him the salute and he goes, hey, dude, you want me to hear? I'm pulling out here. You can pull right in here if you want to.
Yeah.
Norm goes, no, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
I'm okay.
I got my parking spot.
I'm okay in the no parking handicap, no parking rail. I'm okay right here.
Yeah.
And the guy
I just find it funny, though.
He just deflated.
I know, this isn't the first time this has happened for Father.
And he gets in his car.
Yeah.
I kind of had a little bit of a twinge of like, gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm not really like that.
No, you work with that. I know. I'm laughing inside.
I work with that energy.
You do, because deep down, you're your parents' kids.
I'm a D'Antoni.
Yes. Deep down, you really are that Italian. I'll cut you at your knees. Or I'll cut you somewhere. But you work with it.
I work with it all the time.
And you can buy it, honestly. Right. And you keep saying, hey, I'm working on this.
Right.
You know, and it may take me a while to work on it, but I'm working on it.
But there was this little glimmer when the guy sat, you know, like, sat down, with, you know, in the back in his car. I saw him, yeah. Like, he went,
well, first of all, here's what I want to say, what I've learned from that experience. And you get mad at me because I do this pretty well, mm-hmm. which is I cut everybody slack.
Oh, my gosh. You are the slack girl.
I am the slack cutter of all time.
Yeah.
So when you see someone acting poorly, you're like, you better have a talking to that person. I'm like, oh, I can give you 20 reasons why this person is acting poorly, and it would justify his behavior. And so I'm like,
I'm always cashing checks your butt can't
I know.
Cash.
And sometimes I have to, sometimes I'm cashing them. Other times I'm just depositing them for later. I'll deposit in that bank later on, mama. So, yeah, so I totally agree. But that was just a fun story. But I think it's so interesting that really – okay, first off, Dad probably could get a handicap sticker,
yes,
if he wanted to.
Yes, see, the man's got heart attack, vertigo,
yeah,
bad knees.
Bad knees.
He could get a handicap,
yes,
sticker.
And
like you said, libido killers.
It's a libido killer, yeah. all of them are.
All of them are together.
But after so many years of marriage, who cares, right?
Oh, well, thank you for saying that, Julie.
Yeah. You're like, I still care.
I kind of care, Jules. I kind of want him to, like, look cute.
Yeah. I mean, I still put makeup on for him. I'm trying to look cute. He can do the same thing for me. Yes, exactly. He could, and you're right.
Oh, thank you. Julie just answered it all in one.
Yes, I was answered all right here.
Yeah, thank you.
So, anything else going on with you this week? Or
what else went on with me this week?
Well, no, I know we have Gregorio, our brother, which we hope to have an interview with him next week for our show. He's done the American Road Trip.
The Great American Road Trip.
And it's funny, his Texas have gone from all over the map, mm-hmm. to like having the best time of my life. I love this. I love Rushmore. I love the, you know, Tower, you know, Devil's Tower. I love the great, the, you know, the Tetons. You know,
now he's in Colorado.
He's in Colorado.
Oh, no, he's in Kansas.
He's heading towards, he was in Kansas.
Yeah.
He said if Kansas was flat.
Yeah.
And now they're heading over to Arkansas.
He said, where's Dorothy and little Toto too?
Yes. Because I haven't seen him.
No.
Two other times where he's going, this may have been a mistake. It's going to be a long trip.
Three adults, three kids.
All under the age of 5. And I believe that's probably how exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad. He showed me a picture,
yeah,
of the kids.
Yeah.
And I could see why they go crazy sometimes.
Yeah. They're all in their car seats.
Car seats. You know,
yeah,
going
like in
sideways.
A seat, in a car seat.
Going sideways.
Yeah.
So they're sitting on a sofa, yeah, in their car seats going, mm-hmm, sideways. And each one has a screen in front of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so you go, well, it's not the good old days.
No,
when
in the good old days, man.
We didn't have seatbelts.
If we were traveling that way, you guys would be anywhere you wanted to be.
Oh, my gosh.
Climbing the walls.
I know where we would be. We'd all be in the – Dad would be driving. We'd be in the bed.
In the back.
Yeah. Hanging out,
and
having lunch.
Putting signs on the back
playing
window.
Playing games. Yeah.
For people,
yeah,
to see.
Giving people peace signs. Yeah. You know, having a good old time.
See, we'd be in the CB singing.
Yes. You'd be teaching us the Great Lakes, the Capitals. All this good stuff.
H-O-M-E.
You'd have an agenda.
Right.
I'm going to say right now, growing up, my mother was the queen of lists. And even on vacations, she'd have a list of all the things she'd want us to learn.
Yes.
And know. And because, darn it, this trip will be educational, yeah,
so
as well.
Julie, what is H-O-M-E spell? H-O-M-E-S, excuse me.
Yes. Well, it's our Great Lakes.
That's right.
Holmes is our Great Lakes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie.
Superior.
Good
girl.
I knew it was Superior, but my mind was saying Sagittarius. I'm like, that's my sign.
When the moon is
Sagittarius,
in the
that's my sign.
I'm going to do that again, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I'm still jealous of him a little bit. It just seems I'm missing this Great American Road Trip in theory.
Trust me, in theory.
When I've gone to like Mississippi with Doug, mm-hmm, you know, or I've gone other places, mm-hmm, the first thing I feel is like, oh, my body starts to hurt, mm-hmm, you know. But I do like listening to podcasts. I like looking.
Yeah, but see, road trips are really different. They're designed to, you know, do landmarks or,
right,
things like that. But like when you just make a trip, you want to fill your podcast up. I mean,
yes,
you want to
it's
do
a destination. You're like,
yes,
I want to get there as soon as,
yeah,
possible.
You don't want to stop at the big ball of twine.
No. or those all those 20-foot tall men,
right?
You know?
Right.
Or when Doug went and I went to that nudie colony, and right, we saw the, we wanted to see. We weren't brave enough to go in.
Yeah, but you wanted to kind of see.
We wanted to see the. They had the biggest sundial made out of mannequin legs, and I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of interesting.
It was this is a nudist camp.
Yeah, it was one of these websites that said, "Hey, road trips off the beaten path." I'm like, beaten. That made me mean a lot of things.
That made me laugh. We're looking for the beaten path.
Okay, before we go into Elliot's Corner, which
yes,
we have to do,
yes,
we must do a quick movie review.
Yes.
Of the brothers. Did we do that last week?
We did that last week.
That was last week we saw
it? We gave
that?
It four Sherpa heads, or at least 3.5 Sherpa heads.
Did we do that last week?
I did. I'm going to do Deadpool.
Okay, do Deadpool.
3.5 Sherpa heads.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, and I liked it, and I had higher expectations for it than I should have.
Okay. I tried to calm you down on it.
You no, you did not.
I said it was a fun ride,
yeah,
but it's long.
Right.
And
it was long.
Oh, yeah. I knew. I told
for
you
for a Saturday night, it was long.
But the other one was Cloverfield, 10.
Yes,
10
I could have done that. And I will do that review next week.
Yes, you'll do that review that next week.
Yes.
That's a 90-minute straight-out
flat. So is it okay
movie.
If I just go movie hats?
Yes.
And that should
yes,
tell.
Yes, that'd be perfect.
I should do movie. So the movie is Deadpool. Length, over 2 hours.
Too long for a Saturday night. And
Sherpa
how many
hats? 3.5.
Oh.
3 to 3.5. Not 4 because of length.
Yes.
Not 4 because of
probably because of length. If it took out the
mostly length, yeah,
you would have been happier,
yeah,
and it would have been funnier.
Yeah, and also it was a funny movie, and there was a lot of jokes, and I think I liked that, but I also missed just some screenwriting.
Right.
It was like a lot of jokes, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
You
where
know
is
what
my
I mean?
Story? Yes. It was almost like it was setting it up for more movies.
Yeah. Well,
here's
that's
just
true.
A background.
That's true.
Of what went down.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
So, Mr. Deadpool.
Yes.
And, yeah, liked it.
Good.
As opposed to Wade Wilson, which is his original name.
Right.
And he turns into
Deadpool.
A superhero.
Yeah.
Well, not really an anti-superhero.
Right. That's the whole point.
Or a super anti-hero.
Right. So, girlfriend, are you ready for a little Elliot's,
Elliot's Corner?
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's
Here
Corner.
Here we are at Elliot's Corner. Woo! Love it. And it's funny, we're going to talk about more animals during Elliot's Corner.
Yeah,
because
we're expanding.
I guess we could say we're evolving.
Well, I remember back in the day when there used to be Animal Talk with Larry Lujack.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea, girlfriend.
Animal Stories.
Back. Oh, Animal Stories.
With Larry Lujack.
Oh, wow.
On the AM radio.
Wow. AM radio? What's that?
What's that? Who has AM radio?
What's AM radio?
So, but this
Mama?
Week I was, you know me, sometimes I get in those moments where I'm watching Nova or I'm watching BBC and I'm watching them getting involved in all these animal stories. And I just fell in love with some animal stories this week.
Then I want to hear them. I mean, we do want to talk about our Elliot.
Yes. Let's talk about him first.
Yeah.
He fell in love this week with a boxer.
Yes.
And
I mean, he truly fell hard.
Fell hard.
Is it a boy or girl?
It was a boy boxer.
See,
his name was Charlie.
Elliot's metrosexual.
Yes. And he fell hard. And there was another dog there with him at the dog park. And it was more his speed, like a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Not huge, but like Elliot's size, maybe a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot was playful with him, but not could care less,
right.
Really.
He
could
loved
care less.
Little Charlie.
Little Charlie, the little, did I say boxer?
Yeah.
I meant pug.
Pug.
I meant pug.
With the breathing disorder.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought I was going to die. But
yeah. I mean, continuously. Yeah. And I said, is he okay? Oh, yeah. This is what he does. He's okay. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot was infatuated. And so they were playing. Elliot just really looked down and, like, be conscious. And Charlie was, like, in the mix. He wanted to play, too. And at one scene, I saw Will, the bigger dog, sitting. And Elliot laying down and Charlie sitting next to him. For about 3 seconds, they were all totally fine and happy and content.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, I was talking to the owner of the pug. And I said, I don't know what's going on. My dog is completely infatuated with your dog. And I turn around, and there's my dog humping little Charlie.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, Elliot, no. Stop that. He does not want to be humped. And so I run to the run to the crime.
Right. Scene of the crime.
And then I grab Elliot and I pull him off the dog.
Right.
And Elliot is not happy at me. He's like, rrr. And that's what he does. You know, he got kicked out of
daycare.
And I know that this is what he does. He gets into these little situations and they want to pull him away and he tries not to bite, but he turns his head aggressively.
Yeah, he won't bite you.
He's never bitten me.
No, and never anybody.
No. Now, Normano.
Except Normano.
He gets a little bloody. That's because he's on blood thinners.
Norm's a bleeder.
Yeah.
Not a breeder.
No. So anyway, he got to the point where it was so bad that I picked up the owner picked up the pug. You know, because they separated a little bit.
I could see this happening, and all I saw was the pug flying in the air.
Well, what happened was the owner, then Charlie went ballistic and started jumping up and down like, hey, what are you doing with my pug?
Why? You mean Elliot went ballistic.
Yeah, Elliot went ballistic like, hey, you took my pug away from me, and he just kept jumping higher like, hey, I want my pug. I want my pug. Don't take my pug away from me. And then she goes, I got to put it. And this dog park has two sides, right? A little dog side and a bigger dog side. Mm-hmm. And she just took the little dog and just gently put it over the bigger side. You say, I know, dropped him.
What?
Him on the other side.
I saw this dog go flying.
You know, not fly, but like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And then Elliot was calm. And he's like, but then just went down looking at him like, oh, where'd you go?
We're separated.
Why'd they take you away from me? I love you.
I loved you.
Charlie, I love you. You're my pug. I wanted to just take care of you and maybe have my way with you once in a while. Yeah. But please come back. And then pug would come back and they'd like kiss underneath the fence. I'm like, whatever, Elliot. Whatever.
Whenever it's star-crossed. It was star-crossed.
It is. It was definitely... I had to apologize to the owner because I couldn't grab Elliot fast enough to keep him from stop jumping.
Right.
I just kept saying down.
Yeah.
He knows what that means.
Yeah.
But he was
on a mission. Usually that comes at one point on the playground when you pick him up and he just looks around like, wait, what happened?
What happened?
Uh-oh.
I'm walking
away. And you're like, he's just...
And I forget that I want to have him at the dog park. I want to put on one of those body ones, you know, chains.
Yeah.
And have like a smaller chain on them, like a foot long chain on them, so that if I have to grab him, I can just grab the chain and take him up instead of having to pick him up, because that little guy's wiry.
Yes.
He's a little fast guy.
He's muscular.
And so I don't know what I've learned from him about that, except that sometimes in the brain, we want something so badly that we don't know what's good for us.
Right.
And we go through any obstacle to get there. And then I saw him exhibit grit. You know, at the cost of everything else around him. And it did not look good. But then I saw...
It ain't pretty, but it's gritty.
But then I also know that there are times you shouldn't go after stuff that really aren't good for you. Like my sugar addiction. There are times I just got to say, nope, I gave it up.
That's right. So there are times that your mom has got to pick you up and take you out of the situation.
Take you out of the situation. And I had...
I throw you over the fence.
And so that was one of those situations where sometimes you just got to leave the situation to make it better.
Amen.
Turn that lemons into lemonade.
Amen.
Amen. So some other stories about animals I learned this week that I am just totally fascinated with.
I hope you're going to tell my favorite,
which is about
the vultures.
Okay. So I saw this show on Nova, or it was on PBS. It might have been before Nova. And they're talking about flying animals. That really, some were birds, but other animals that flew, and how fascinating they were. And they're talking about these one vultures. They're in Africa, and literally they can fly for hours upon hours without flapping their wings.
I thought you said something like 30 days or something, maybe. Or
then Normana was telling about these other birds that could fly without touching the ground for days, 30 days, because they're in the ocean. And they can't touch the ground because their wings aren't designed to get wet.
Oops.
Yes. But they fly.
So do they ride on other birds that can? Or
they ride on...
something like that, right?
Well, they steal fish from other birds.
Oh, right.
But then what they do is they ride the thermals up, and they can fly really high up above the clouds. And they just kind of glide and fly and so forth. Now, I didn't see that one, so I don't know much about that.
Okay.
I don't know the one about the vultures in Africa.
Right, go tell the vulture story.
So what happens is, as the sun gets rising up and the air heats up, you have these currents that just kind of, the hotter the air, the faster the air current, the thermals go up. And at night, they're not there because it's too cool out. Mm. There's not this contrast of air. Mm-hmm. You need a contrast of cold and air to get these thermals. And so in the morning, you'll have these vultures kind of test it out there in the world, test out the air, and they'll come back if they're not high enough yet and so mm-hmm. forth. But they have to travel for hundreds of miles to find their food. And so that they need these thermals to do it. And they have these huge, long wingspans. And at the end of the wingspans, because their wings are so wide.
Weren't you telling me something about it was a ratio between their brains and their wings or heads?
I think it's Normano that told you that.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I'm getting the stories mixed
up. Yes, they're very similar. Mm-hmm. But their wings have... they're separated so they can have wind go through them, which means that they don't have the drag that could possibly have.
Wow.
And I just thought, how amazing is this?
How amazing is that?
That these birds develop this way. And I thought it was fascinating. Mm-hmm. Now, in the same show, they also talked about flying snakes. And in Borneo, they have these snakes that fly. And there's this one professor from the university, I can't remember which one, but he's
Borneo?
Yeah, no, he's I think California.
I graduated from the University of Borneo.
I think it was University of Southern California, USC.
Okay.
And University of South Carolina. I don't know. One of those. But he is the famous dude who studies flying snakes.
Oh, you know what? Come on.
Yes.
Why can't I have
a passion like that, yeah. Grant like that.
Yeah, for flying squirrels. And oh, moose and squirrel. Hey, Rocky. Hey, Bulbico.
But he was talking about how when he went to Borneo for the first time to study these snakes, he would hear from people who live there, mm-hmm. Oh, did you see the flying snakes?
The legend of the flying snakes.
He didn't believe it mm-hmm. until he started seeing them. But the problem is, so he wanted
Professor Indiana Jones?
Yes.
I'd like to tell you about the legend of the flying snakes.
And
I don't believe it.
Here's what I thought Grit comes into play in this. Because he's now in Borneo and because PBS is making a show about flying animals that are not birds, right? And snakes are one of mm-hmm. them. And he's there to help them find the snakes and get good footage. How do we get footage of this? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, it's going to be too hard to just put a camera up and pray to God that you're going to see a flying snake. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. So what they did was they built, in Borneo, they built a 30-foot, structure that looked like, I want to say scallops, but it's not scallops. What is it? You know, those things that you put on the side of buildings I want to say scapulas. That's not it either.
Shoot.
I can't think of it.
What
but, you
the
know,
heck? Yes.
A structure.
Yeah.
30 feet up and in this clearing next to a tree that's like 10 feet tall or 15 feet tall. And what they had to do was they would go and find the snakes. And
the flying
it took them
snakes.
All day long to find like 20 flying snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they found them in this one area. It was really interesting. And they got the snakes. They brought them up to the 30-foot tower. Scaffolds. Is that it?
Is
yes.
that what you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. And then they put a snake on a branch way off the side of the scaffold. And then they'd watch the snake intentionally jump from the rope or from the stick to the tree.
The branch?
The branch, the tree. And the tree was 20 feet below.
Oh,
so it's like a jumping snake.
Jumping snake,
but it's like a flying snake.
They call it flying
because it flies. It must have flown 40, 50 feet
at one time.
At one time,
does it have wings?
No, it doesn't have wings. They did talk about fish that had wings, and that was kind of cool.
Whoa,
these fish turn into their flippers or their fins.
The fins
at some point turn into. Wings to help them get lift to avoid predators in the middle of the ocean. It was pretty wild.
Wow.
I thought the world was great. God's cool. This is awesome. I mean, still some died because everybody has to survive.
Yeah.
But the majority lived so they can reproduce and all that good stuff.
Wow.
But it was what I thought about this is that the first time it happened, it happened so quickly, the cameraman couldn't get the shot.
Oh.
And then they had to like five or six times and they kept going, did you get the shot? Because I get the shot. So what happened was this whole story ended up being about the grit cameraman. It took oh. to get these photographs.
Really?
And how they had a cameraman, the professor, you know, all the people that lived in the area to help find the snakes.
The movie star.
Exactly. All these people took a trip to Borneo. And
the professor.
And it was just so fascinating to me. And finally, the cameraman got fast enough to catch it going down. He got the timing right, you know, and he was able to photograph it in slow-mo, this beautiful snake going from up high to down low, jumping 50 feet into this tree. And it could be longer. And they didn't throw it.
Are they nice snakes? Do you know what I mean?
They must not have been poisonous because they weren't afraid. They weren't taking precautions.
How sweet. Yeah.
But I wouldn't have tried to pick it up, you know. But it was just fascinating, the grit it took, and how dedicated these people were to getting the shot and to letting people know, like me, what nature's like out there.
I know.
The chances of me going to Borneo are zero.
Zero.
I mean, it's not even on my bucket list. I wouldn't mind. Madagascar is on the lower part of my bucket list, which I don't think is near Borneo, but I don't think it's far. I mean, I think Madagascar is closer to Borneo than I'm closer to Borneo. From this position right here.
Why are you even thinking about Madagascar?
Oh, because do you remember when we used to watch that show, and I have them all taped, called Destinations?
Yes.
And they went to Madagascar.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought that was the most beautiful place in the world.
Oh.
So different to where I live.
Yeah.
But yet beautiful, and yet I wasn't fearful. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My favorite of that was when they went to that reindeer company. Was it country? Lapland?
Or? No. They went to, that was Mongolia.
Mongolia, yes, yes.
That was fascinating.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. If anybody out there can get episodes of Destinations, it's about these three guys, one cameraman, two guys, traveling all across the world. And it was just a wonderful trip.
Yeah, and they're just, yes, that's all I can say.
I'd recommend going
there. It's just, because you really see it.
Yes.
I mean, it's just two guys and a cameraman.
But it's so
fun.
That
sounds like a porno movie.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm sure it's been many.
See if we have the URL.
Two guys and a
two
porno?
Two guys and a cameraman.
Two guys and a camera.
.com.
Okay. When the show's over, I'm picking it up. Two guys and a camera.
Two guys and a cameraman.
Oh, two guys and a cameraman.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of why Hulk Hogan got all that money? Because there were two guys and a camera.
Oh, yeah.
Or a guy and a girl and a camera. And then someone got the bit video. I don't know. Crazy like that. And now he's worth a lot of money again.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Because he won a lawsuit?
Yes. I think like $100 million.
From what?
Do you remember? I don't know from who. I can't. Stalker. You know, whatever website it was. That was more like celebrity.
Stalker.com?
I don't know if that's Stalker.com. Mm-hmm. Gawker, maybe.
Gawker.com.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I probably am wrong. However, it was about he had made a sex video with his friend's wife. Mm-hmm. I think his friend was photographing it or
caring. Wow.
And somehow it got found.
Public?
Yeah, in public. And they, you know, they Gawker.
Who'd they sue then?
The website.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they got like, he got like $100 million from it.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if they're going to pay that. I don't know if they're worth that.
Right.
I don't know anything about
that.
So I found it very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Ugh.
Here's a takeaway from
have
that.
Those problems.
If you don't, well, that I almost feel it was, I don't know. I'm so cynical about this stuff.
Yeah.
First off, so if you don't want your sex tape to be out there, first of all, be in charge of deleting it yourself. Make it on your camera and delete it right afterwards. But the truth is, you're never guaranteed privacy.
I mean, and most people, that's how they start their careers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of that, just while we're still in Elliot's corner real quick, at the dog park this week, Elliot found a condom.
Oh, yes. This was not fun.
This was not a fun...
I had to do one of those moments where I had
a choice.
Luckily, I took real grit. Luckily, I had a dog bag with me to pick up Elliot's poop, right? And I see this condom, and I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes. And my thought is, I really don't want to pick this condom up. And I go, well, you have a bag, Julie. And my second thought was...
But you said you had this vision in your head of Elliot grabbing it and just taking his head really back and forth.
I got this thing.
Yeah.
There's DNA in this thing. I'm not letting it go. And then I have to struggle with it. And I have to pull it out of his mouth. And then I'm like, ugh. And I'm dry heaving. This is awful.
So you had this whole scenario that you played out. in a few seconds.
Yes, and it was decided for me instantly that yes. I'm picking up this condom right now.
With the dog poo bag.
With my dog poo bag and throwing it away.
Yes.
So I saved Elliot and other dogs from having the time of their life.
Another doggy owners.
Well, then also, I just started getting really nauseous thinking about the visual.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Elliot has a beard. It's yes. his breed. He's a Wheaton Terrier.
Yes, he's got a long beard.
And can't you imagine? I can't imagine.
We always talk, I don't know if I should say this on the air,
no,
but
okay.
We talk about, yeah, maybe I shouldn't say
it.
That's
fine. Real quick.
Okay. That we call his beard his ass beard.
Yes.
Because he mostly...
Yeah.
He likes to, you know, clean himself, I guess.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Well, and so then you're just going, okay, his beard's kind of crusty. Why is his beard crusty?
And then we know. And then we realize that if you add that to the condom
I'm really handling it.
No, we made an appointment on Tuesday for
grooming.
To grooming.
Yes, yeah. for sure. So girlfriend, you ready for a little corner?
Pillar dog.
All right, here we are, right for Doris Day's Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk.
Talking about the pillars of life. And just a few of them are your health, your wealth, your career, spirituality.
Relationships.
Yes.
Service.
Service. And how we make them better.
More. How do we make our lives worth more?
Worth more.
Or better. Tweaking. Or as I call it, teaking now.
And we really want to continue talking about grit.
Right. Because you know why? You can never talk enough about it.
It is the one ingredient that gets you to the finish line.
Right.
Now, I want to say this. We know the older we get that there's a chance that we can live to be 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be lovely if we never lost that grit for more learning, more life, excitement in our life in different ways?
Right.
There is such a big world out there that I don't want to ever lose my desire to learn more.
And also, we used to think like it's a big world out there, and if you had a lot of money, you could experience it. But that's not the case now. I mean,
you don't have to have a lot of money to experience it.
You've got to have. And also, we thought like, oh, if you're a genius, if you're really smart, if you're talented, you'll be the favored one. You know, and those things are nice. But they're not the telltale answer to...
You can be smart and have lots of talent, but if you don't have grit...
And you're on your couch.
Yes, exactly. You ain't going to get there.
But grit is the one thing that researchers can actually put their thumbnail on and say, this is what made the difference.
And we've been talking about, too, when you have a goal or a bigger dream... When you start from that place of victory, there's something about that. When you know in your heart you're going to get there.
Right.
You just have to go through the steps.
Right.
And it's not law of attraction, because law of attraction, sometimes if it's not done properly, you feel it's magical.
Yeah.
I just got to feel it and know it and believe
it. And I get so aligned.
And then it just comes to me naturally.
Right.
You know, for our bigger dreams and goals, that's not how it works.
No.
You have to be... You know, you have to believe that this is possible for you.
Yes.
And that you're going to be the person that will receive that.
Right.
So you have to get your skills up. You got to get your knowledge
up. It's really about getting ready for that, isn't it?
Yes. It's be, do, have, right? You be the person you need to be to have it, to keep it. You have to do the actions, and then you get to have it. Sometimes the having does come sometimes miraculously or by a miracle.
That's true.
But if you're not in alignment, if you're not...
You don't get to keep it.
You don't get to keep it.
No.
It's not possible.
Right. At least how many people have you seen, like, win the big lottery and they weren't prepared for it?
Yeah.
And then 3 or 4 years later...
Not much there.
Their Rolls Royce is on blocks in their front yard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so you realize that you really need to prepare yourself for the person you want to be.
Right.
And so it is... There is that living in gap.
Let's talk a little bit about that if you want to.
Sure. I love to talk about
living
in gap.
Because I feel like that is, right now, that's like to the forefront of what I am wanting to talk about. Because the gap is this. You've started a process, you know.
Yes.
And
you can be like sometimes months into it.
Months into it. But on the outside, nobody could tell.
No.
I mean, you've been metamorphosizing on the inside and really doing... But it hasn't shown up on the outside, and maybe people don't notice it. Maybe your finances won't notice it.
Right.
And so a lot of times people at that moment give up.
Yes.
Because that doesn't look like it's manifested any actual thing, right? And so we call that, at least we've termed it, living in the gap.
Right. Because the easiest way to explain it is when you're trying to get healthy physically. I mean, because what happens is when you literally in 6 weeks, if you start living, you know, really clean diet, exercising, typically within 6 weeks, your insides, your blood work can look pretty good.
Very different. Yeah.
Very, very different.
Yeah.
But the outside may not look different at all.
Yeah, and everybody's or just assuming you're the same old person.
Yeah, or it may look a little different, but it doesn't represent what you are on the inside.
Right.
And so here you are, and you may live in that gap for months, or you may live in that gap, and people that are really close to you may go, "Oh, I can see, you know, your outside's changing a little bit," but people who have been thin or, you know, or whatever, are very, you know, like doing the, you know, American Warriors, you know,
ninja people.
Yeah, ninja people. They would go, "Well, you're not in shape at all," you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're living in that gap.
Right.
You're living in that gap. And
I do believe, honey, that a lot of people quit during that time.
Yes.
Because even for them, it's too much to take.
It's painful.
Yeah.
And so you have to get clear in your mind. You gotta embrace progress.
So let's say that grit is about the gap.
Or yes.
The gap is about grit.
Grit. Gap? No, yeah. I'm trying to get the acronym for grit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
We'll next week, people.
Yeah. Or maybe not. I don't know if I got the time to work on it. But now we've been working on our book, Sleep Your Way to the Top of the Morning.
Sleep Your Way to the Top. Of the morning.
And we were trying to do this book by a different system initially.
Right.
Where we've been hearing about,
an easy way to write books.
It's to just speak and we have it recorded and have it transcribed. Yeah. It comes back perfect. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We tried it.
And it was horrible.
Oh, my gosh. It set us back at least 3 weeks.
Oh, yes.
We tried it.
Everything worked the way it was supposed to.
Right.
I mean,
but it does. That's not how we work.
No. We came back and I'm like, this just sounds like we're talking.
Yeah.
There's no real
yeah.
concept here.
No.
And so we had to keep churning that.
Editing it and redoing it.
We even went
to a transcriber in England.
Yeah. Did a wonderful job transcribing it.
Yeah.
But it came back and going, we can't.
This is just dialogue.
Yeah.
This is like we're having this radio show.
And not even as good as this.
No.
Wait, what? Because this stuff is good. This is gold.
This is a big shoe.
Yeah. And so we've been having to really work grit because the first week that we were working with the book, there are times going, I'm not going to do this. This is awful.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, let's just
take the time.
Yeah. Let's just do this and do it right.
Yeah.
And it was interesting by doing that, we got our formula that works best for us.
Yes.
So the remainder books that we do
are going to be easier.
Or easier.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it the way we should have done
the way we did Butterfly Effect. The next one we're doing on stress. We got two more in this. We're going to do stress and chronic pain.
Yes, because we're also doing hypnosis, our medical hypnosis with it. And what we know about sleep is that sleep is 1/3 of your life. Like, Mom was so surprised to learn that.
Wait, what? 1/3 of my life?
That revelation, that's 1/3 of your life. But it affects the quality of your 1/3 of life.
Oh,
affects
so much.
The other 2/3 of your life.
I know. It's so funny because you think you know everything about it.
No.
And the thing is, these little things that I've learned have already made a big difference
in
my life.
Yes, and it's made a big difference in my life
as well. And, you know, just like the tennis ball made a big difference in Norman's life.
Yeah. That's a story that's in the book.
Next week.
Yeah, next week we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. So, but here it is. We've had to really use grit because who are we?
Right.
One of the things we love to do is we love to research and we love to educate people so they have more life, bigger life.
Right.
And if we can help people the way we helped ourselves with sleeping and they can help themselves, I mean, God, that'd be great.
Amazing.
And for me, I've really improved my sleeping habits and it changed my life through these techniques, plus using hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can also get our hypnosis with this as well.
Right.
We're almost there.
Yeah.
Next two weeks, you can't get it yet,
but probably in the next 2 weeks, you'll be able to get it. But the reason why we chose medical hypnosis is that in all the research, adding hypnosis to a behavioral change increases your success by at least, I don't know,
four times. Yeah.
4 times better success.
Yes. And that's the thing. I mean, how do we plus
that's
our life
more.
So we have more chance for success?
Right.
It's always about behavior change.
Right.
You got to inside know that you can be this person, mm-hmm. then you're going to behave like it.
Yes.
Then you get the results of it.
Right.
You know, it's everybody in the past were like, if I could just get this, I would be this person.
Right.
I promise.
If I just won the $1 million, then yeah. I could be this.
I'll be a great business person. Right. I'll take really good care of my money. Right. And it's like, you know, be this now.
Right.
And then live in the gap, unfortunately.
Right.
I mean, I think that's one thing about investing, too. When you're starting off investing, $100 a month, you know, and you just keep investing day in, month right. in, month out,
right.
living in the gap, not touching it, knowing, believing that 30 years from now, you're going to have a nice little nest, right. nest egg.
Right.
But in the middle of the gap, there are probably times you go,
what am I
doing? Could use that money.
Yeah.
I could take this money and start a business.
Right.
You know, I could take this money and buy a car. What am I doing? Just putting mm-hmm. away $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in the gap, trusting and knowing, having mm-hmm. faith that mm-hmm. that gap is going to be worth it.
You know, I just had a vision of people, you know, having, this might even be something like you might even have 5 or 10 things at one time that are in the gap.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. Think about that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we also talk about that in the sense of seed, weight,
seed time harvest.
Seed time harvest.
Yes.
You're living in the time.
Right.
You put plants in the gap. Which
yeah.
is the gap.
Yeah.
And
you haven't harvested it yet.
You have to take control of your emotional state during that gap.
You have to.
Yes.
That's to be continued, girlfriend.
For sure.
That is good.
All right. So please, everyone, go to our blog, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Go
like us on Facebook.
Go. I want more Facebook likes.
Yeah. Not just go to Christine Marie.
Yes.
Go to Christine Marie and Julie.
On Facebook. And then also,
and like us and let us
get our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
And when the new one comes out, Sleep Your Way to the Top
of the Morning.
Of the morning.
Crush sleep. We have kind of two different top energies here. Sleep Your Way to the Top of the Morning. Crush sleep. All right, girlfriend. So what do you think of the show today?
Oh, come on. It was great.